A lot of people, when we talk about church and coming to church, being part of a church, or actually becoming a Christian or trusting Christ, they often do it because their life is in a lot of shambles. And so you think the idea is, if I just come to Jesus, my life will now be safe. Now, I want to be the first one to tell you, and I've told this often, if you're coming here to Hope or you're investigating Jesus because he's safe, you are in the wrong building. The better building to go would be to go put your money in the stock market or something really safe. Anyway, God is good and God is powerful, but is he safe? I've seen a book out there, The Safest Place on Earth, or they describe the church. And in a lot of ways, it should be the case because you're amongst people who love Christ and are transformed by him and are changed and are around each other and you support each other in that. But at the same time, it's a very dangerous place. In two regards. One is you open yourself up to be vulnerable. And the other one is God is in the amazing business of doing whatever it takes to make you into who he wants you to be. And sometimes those paths are not exactly the way you would have done it. And so this morning, we're going to take, I'm giving up some sermon time here to hear from two people who have gone through a path. Some of you might have heard them. This story has been on Care 11 and CCO. I don't know if it might have been covered on the other channels as Fox and all the local channels. But I want to invite Matt and Nora Hansen up here, and they're going to share a little bit. I'm not going to give any of their story whatsoever. I'll let them tell it. But just think about that as they're talking about what it means to follow God and that sometimes it's not exactly as safe as you might think. Check. Does that work?
Check.
Good deal. Okay. Matt, why don't we start with this is Matt and Nora. This is Matt over here, and Nora's the one with the ponytail. So
very funny. Hey guys, I'm Matt. Nora and I, we were teaching in China last year, and I'm just trying to give you a little brief overview. We went over with one of my best friends named Tanner, and we also met some other foreign teachers. So we did this teaching thing so we could try to get some teaching experience for Nora, but also try to be a good witness and maybe share the gospel with some people. So we did that for one semester last year. And then when you're teaching in China, they have this thing called Spring Festival. It's like their Christmas/New Year's all rolled into one. It's a huge thing. And because of the transportation system, they have to give the students a lot of time off. So basically, Nora and I and the rest of the teachers had like a month and a half to travel. And to travel in China compared to America is very cheap. So we're like, well, let's just, you know, live it up. We don't really have many chances in our life to do this. Mm-hmm. So we traveled around and eventually ended up at the tail end of our vacation at this one province in China in the western part called the Yunnan province. And we decided to meet up with, Tanner, Nora, and I all flew to meet up with a friend named Chris. And we met up with him and we decided to hike this really fantastic spot called Tiger Leaping Gorge. Now, many Westerners like us are starting to hike this, so it's getting really popular. And for good reason, it is awesome. Like, it's at the foot of the Himalayas, so if you picture with me, on the side, you start off with these huge mountains. And then inside those mountains are these really huge hills. It looks exactly like Lord of the Rings, like New Zealand. Mm. And that's kind of like where we were hiking along the hills. Mm. And then if you go down, it's kind of goes from like this little rocky area into this huge raging river that's like this really teal color. And it's just a really like almost just scary awesome place. It's just epic. So we hiked the standard hike along the trail, and it was challenging. It was fun. And we got to the end, and we kind of finished a little bit early, so we were just hanging out. And basically, it was all four of us, and we really didn't have much money. And we didn't have much to do. So my friend Chris comes up to me and he goes, Hansen, let's go hike down to the river because, you know, we got some time to kill. And we'll ask Nora and Tanner if they want to go. So he asked Nora. Nora's like, no, like we don't have much money to buy food, so I'm going to save my energy. I'm already hungry. And Tanner said,
yeah.
I was here 3 months ago and hiked down to the river, so there's no way I'm going to do that right now. So I was like, hey, that's fine. Me and you will do it. So we end up hiking down. We find the trail, the supposed trail that we're supposed to be on, but it's just going horizontal. It's not going down to the river. So we said, forget it. Screw this. Let's just go straight down to the river. So we blaze our own trail. And it's not a big deal. It's just grass, not really that steep. And we kind of pinpoint where we want to go. We want to go through the grass and down to these rock slabs, and the rock slabs will lead us down to the river. So anyway, we go down. We hit the rock slabs. Rock slabs are a little bit more sketchy than the grass was, so we kind of had to go down our butt and kind of crab walk down a little bit. And you get a little out of control, but it wasn't anything to write home about. Well, anyway, all of a sudden, my friend Chris stops. He was leading, and I was just wondering in my mind, I'm like, is this guy just in awe of what's around us? You know, like, or is he distracted? Like, what's he doing? And he was just kind of looking. And in hindsight, it's because he saw this cliff ahead, and he was trying to find a good way down. But I was like, whatever, this guy's just distracted. I want to get done with this so we can get back up to eat. So I start going down this rock slab, not knowing there's a cliff ahead. And it's a long rock slab, and I'm going down. I start losing control because it's a lot steeper than the other stuff that we were going down. And I end up kind of rolling and tumbling, and all of a sudden I'm over this cliff. And I look down. I mean, to give you some perspective, it's 20 or 30 feet, so it's like a two-story building or higher than that maybe. And so I think, this is really bad. You know, and just a reflex prayer came into my head. I said, God, please don't let this turn out to be as bad as it should. And that's the last thing I remember until, you know, a while later. So Nora's going to fill you in on what I don't remember.
Okay, so when he went for the hike, Tanner and I stayed up at the guest house, and they'd been gone for about 45 minutes, and Tanner's cell phone rang, which we were really surprised about because we didn't think that we would have any cell phone service. Because we're in the middle of nowhere in, like, rural China, and Tanner had just been there, like, a few months before, and there was no cell phone service. So they must have just put in the towers, like, right before we got in there. And also, another interesting thing is in China, they recently gave everyone cell phones and put up towers everywhere, so trying to keep tabs on the people a little bit better. So even, like, farmers in the middle of nowhere who don't have they don't have running water, electricity, they have cell phones. I'm not sure how they charge them. Maybe they have electricity. Anyway. So his cell phone rang, and he's like, hey, it's Matt. And so he answered it, and I could hear that it wasn't Matt, that it was Chris. And I could hear that something was wrong. And so Tanner talked to him for a few minutes, and I gathered from what he was saying that Matt had had an accident. And so we didn't really know what was going on because Chris was pretty hysterical. And what had happened was Chris, after Matt had fallen, Chris had found his way down to Matt, which took a while. And he didn't want to go down there very quickly because he figured that when he got down there, Matt would not be alive. And he was really freaked out. And so it took him a while to get down there. But when he did get down there, Matt was sitting up and standing up and walking around.
What I actually did do when I fell?
Well, when he fell, sure. When he fell, he went over the cliff. And it must not have been a direct hit because there's no way that he would have survived that. So he must have kind of skidded a little bit on his way down, but he did. Most of the impact came right here in his head. And so he split his head open right here. And I don't want to freak anyone out, so I won't describe it in detail, but he split his head open, and so he's bleeding a lot. And so Chris tied his T-shirt around Matt's head to stop the bleeding, and that's really one of the things that saved Matt's life. And he went through three T-shirts, so took off shirt after shirt and tied around his head. And So then Tanner and I were up at the guest house and we found out what had happened. So we talked to the girl who was working there. The only person who was working in the guest house was a local girl, and she called as many people as she could to come and help because they all had cell phones. So they all came, and we went down there, and it took us about 2 hours to find him. And then, and by that point it was dark, which made it a lot harder to find him. And there's no flashlights or anything. So found him in the dark, and we couldn't get down to him because he had fallen down this cliff, and Chris had somehow gotten down there to him. And so Tanner and I couldn't get down there, but the farmers were able to get down there. And they put him on a piece of plywood and tied him with rope, and were able to get him up over the edge, and then took him off and put him onto a donkey, which they had brought with them, so that, because he couldn't walk, and they knew that. So they put him on the donkey and took him up out of the gorge. Well, one thing we didn't know at the time was that he had broken his neck in the fall. He broke the top two vertebrae, his number one, number two vertebrae in his neck, which is like pretty much the scariest thing you can do. So if his head had moved at all, if his neck had moved at all, he would have just died instantly because it would have severed his spinal cord. But we didn't know that. So he got on the donkey and rode out of the gorge the whole way out, like a mile and a half. On a donkey, which is not a smooth ride. And then from there, got put into an ambulance, which took us 2 hours to the closest city, Lijiang. So when they got to the city, they said, okay, they did an X-ray, an MRI, and they found out that he did have the broken neck. So that was good, so then we knew about that. But he'd also fractured his skull, and so he said, we need to do surgery on that right away. It'll probably take about 6 hours. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's a really serious surgery. And 45 minutes after they started surgery, he came out. So they couldn't do anything for him. So they thought they were going to do this amazing surgery, and they realized they just didn't have any of the technology that they needed. So they said, you have to get him to a bigger city immediately. So 3 days later, we did. Took us 3 days to raise the $70,000 that we needed to get him to Hong Kong. And
they needed ahead of time, right?
They needed it up front before they could even send the airplane. So my parents and his parents and lots of people put a lot of money on credit cards. So $70,000 later, we got him to Hong Kong, and then they did surgery to repair his neck injury. They put a screw into his neck so that those vertebrae would be stabilized, and they removed part of the skull to let his brain swell. And the other amazing thing with that is that when you fall and you hit yourself, you get a bruise. And your brain is the same way. And so when you fall and hit your head, your brain wants to swell, just like a bruise, but your skull is in the way. And so causes a lot of brain damage. But his brain didn't swell until they took the skull off. So it's pretty amazing. Because he would have died from that alone, just the brain swelling. But it didn't swell until they took the skull away. And then it was able to swell out and then come back down, which is where it is now. He's still missing his skull, which we won't show you because we don't want to scare anyone. But they're going to put an artificial skull in pretty soon here in a couple weeks, so he'll look just like normal again. So after Hong Kong, we brought him back here. They realized that they had done the neck surgery wrong in Hong Kong. And the screw was put in at a bad angle, so they took that out and did it over again, and now it's all lined up properly, and he's just on the road to recovery. So it's a pretty amazing story.
Oh, gosh. What, just from both your perspectives, how has God really showed up, or how did he show himself off for you, or obviously some of those things, but just maybe each of you individually, you both have different perspectives. Like I said, first service, you were napping during a lot of this, so, you know, it wasn't as big a deal for you as her, but obviously from both you have a different, little different perspective, but I'd love to hear, let them know just kind of what, how God has really shown up in this.
Well, first, the obvious, I should have bled to death first. Then I should have not died. I should have died from my broken neck. I have broken back as well. That could have been, paralyzation. Then I had a leak, a CSF leak. It's a leak of spinal fluid from, a place in my brain. And you can die from that, and I didn't. So it's basically like four huge miracles that each one alone blows my mind. So, I mean, people, I've heard stories of people who have been atheists, or claim to be atheists, say, there's no way I can't believe in God after that. And there's been people that have come to know the Lord through, starting with the story or whatever. So the obvious stuff is like that. But also just some big stuff has happened with Nora's faith, with my faith. I've definitely been refined. Steve said earlier that a lot of people become Christians to feel safe. Well, I was definitely one of those people. I felt like I had a good relationship with the Lord, so I thought, you know, after this happened, you know, I was definitely in awe of God, but at the same time, there was that 2 or 3% that feels sorry for yourself, maybe more. And I was like, what's the deal? I felt kind of gypped by God, like, dude, we had a good relationship. You know, like, why did this happen?
Scary prayer to ask, my friend. Yeah.
So, but I've really felt, you know, God really saying, you know, this, for one, you know, you shouldn't try to use me to be safe. And two, this is all just kind of a refining process with you. So, you know, I'm learning a lot still.
Yeah, what Matt said with my faith, I think the biggest thing I take away from all this is just that I never have to doubt whether or not miracles can happen, whether or not God is looking out for us, because I've seen so many miracles in front of me. Like, I always heard about miracles, and I thought, oh, yeah, sure, I believe in miracles. But I don't think I ever really thought about it. And just seeing them one after the other in front of me was a pretty incredible experience. So I feel really fortunate to have that now, because I never have to doubt that kind of thing again. So it's amazing.
That's great. The history of hope actually is kind of weird in this, and with head injuries, I don't know what the deal is. We should issue helmets or something. But we had a 30 to 40 foot fall with Matt McNeese, if anybody remembers that, and shortly thereafter, Graham Nelson. Graham, are you here today or no? Graham had a brain bleed and ended up having a lot of the same symptoms as if he'd had a fall. Every one of them should have died. So you guys are just, it's a miracle. I mean, it's honestly just crazy. I mean, the neck thing alone just should have severed your spinal column. So we passed out word to the church as soon as it happened, get as many people as praying as we could. But what can we continue to be praying for you guys in these days?
I think just as far as like medical things, he still has to have the one more surgery, which should be pretty small compared to what he's been through. We're not even really worried about it, which is kind of funny. But they're going to put a titanium plate in. The prayer is that goes well and that there are no complications with that. And we haven't gone to see the doctor since all the surgeries, and so we're going to go on Wednesday, and they're going to do a CT scan and see if everything is healing, how his neck is healing and his back. He broke 3 vertebrae in his back, too, which we didn't know about till later. And that those would heal up and be good. And then also he lost sight in his right eye. From the impact of the fall, it like the brain stopped telling his eye to see. Everything is intact in there. All his optic nerves are intact, but it just doesn't work. So pray for healing with that.
How about for you? I didn't ask this, but yeah, for you. I mean, this has been a ride for you, too.
Yeah. I think there's still some, like, emotional, I don't know, damage is the right word, but struggle.
Trauma, yeah.
I mean, it was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. And so there's still some residual, you know, nightmares and things like that. So that would be a good thing to pray for.
Great.
Matt? One more thing. One of our best friends in China, Chris, the guy who was with me when I fell, is, I mean, still after this, he's still saying that, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm an atheist, but I don't really understand, like, how everything worked out so well for Matt. And our friend Tanner, who is a Christian, is still there. And so he's trying to talk to Chris and, you know, with the Holy Spirit, you know, like, you know, show him that this was not just, like, luck or just chance or whatever. So just pray for Chris and that his eyes will be open to seeing the truth about it. And yeah, I guess that's it. Thanks for praying. I really appreciate it.
Let me pray for you guys. Let's pray together. Thanks. God, I just thank you so much for Matt and Nora. I thank you for the legacy and their young life already. God, I thank you that you're faithful, that you were faithful every step by bringing them there, by bringing them to that beautiful area. You were faithful even in the middle of the fall when Matt just reflexively prayed that it wouldn't be as bad. And in some ways, it certainly was a bad fall, but you have been there in so many ways. I thank you, Father, that we're here this morning and we can celebrate with them what you've done and what you're going to do. And I thank you, God, that we're not at a funeral and that how sad that would to be at this time. So, Father, you have been gracious. We just pray for that. Pray for their marriage. I pray for them each individually that this would cause them to go deeper with you and not become bitter, that you would use this to show how much of a loving Father you are to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, you guys.